now, Lord, just come and inspire us, meet with us as we open your words, open our minds and our hearts to hear from you, that we will go from here different to how we came. And we'll gather again next week or the week after, different to how we've gathered in the past. Come, speak, we pray, in your name. Amen. Amen. Please take a seat. If you've got the Bible app with you, it's not as great as the Pilot app, but it's still very useful. And Sarah is going to read to us from one of the Psalms. At the moment, we're in a morning series where we're looking at some of the Psalms. These are songs that the ancient King David wrote, and the different ways they speak into our lives today. So let's hear. It's Psalm 122. If you've got your Bible and you're going to follow through for yourself. Thanks, Sarah.
This is Psalm 122, verses 1 to 9. I rejoice with those who said to me, "Let us go to the house of the Lord. Our feet are standing in your gates, Jerusalem." Jerusalem is built like a city that is closely compacted together. That is where the tribes go up, the tribes of the Lord, to praise the name of the Lord according to the statute given to Israel. There stand the thrones of judgment, for the thrones in the house of David. Pray for the peace of Jerusalem. May those who love you be secure. May there be peace within your walls and security within your citadels. For the sake of my family and friends, I will say, peace be within you. For the sake of the house of the Lord our God, I will seek your prosperity.
That's brilliant. Thank you so much. Oh, did you pick up some of the excitement? I was glad when they said to me, let's go to the house of the Lord. Have you ever been to an event that you've got kind of excited about, and other people who are going to the same thing are also excited, and as you start to make your way, you're with others, and then you kind of get there and so on? As I'm talking about that, is there a particular event that comes to your mind? Yeah. Can you think of something? Yeah, tell somebody next to you or just behind or in front of you. Go on. What event were you thinking about? Oh, yeah. Maybe call a few out. Have you got one that you want to say about? Go on then. Let's hear a few. The Big Church Day Out. Oh, yeah, big festival, concert and everything else. The Olympics, 2012. Were you thinking about that? Oh, I was thinking about that and travelling in and everybody getting excited and talking to each other on the tube. When does that happen? Go on, so a few more. Sorry? The Women's Euro Final. Brilliant, yeah. We'll come back to that in a minute, I think. Anything else? Whoa. Any from yours, Alison? No? No, it's great. I think it's just great to have special occasions in the diary and things that you look forward to in the calendar. That, this psalm picks up on the anticipation of that and then the thrill of the journey itself and the whole purpose of the gathering as well, all wrapped up into one. It comes together in this psalm. And as I said, you know, these are songs. We're looking at this idea within the psalms of a God who's over all. He's the God of all. And he's the God who's in all of our lives and wants to impact us to make a difference in the whole of our lives. At college, in our workplace and so on. Today, it's Psalm 122. Now, the editors who pulled together the Psalms in a particular order, the editors had a particular section of 15 Psalms they called the Songs of Ascents. Ascents, like going up. And David wrote four of them. So they were songs they loved to sing, and they gathered these 15 together in one place. And then that meant when God's people made their way to the capital, Jerusalem, these songs would build that anticipation and help them draw near to God, to reflect on God, to get excited about coming together. And all of that sort of just started to bubble out as they would walk and make their way to Jerusalem. If you've ever been on the underground at the time of a big football match, like the Women's Euros, but maybe like the FA Cup, we had that yesterday, didn't we? If you've been on the tube when there's been a load of fans with particular scarves on, the excitement can get palpable, you know, and it bubbles up, and then a couple of them start to sing their one of their team's songs that their team sings, and suddenly from a quiet bit the whole carriage seems to be singing this same song, and they're just getting excited on their way, and it breaks out. And I was imagining, as I was preparing, you know, a little chorus breaking out on one of the family groups going up, and they were like, "Let us go, let us go." Yeah, my wife is always worried when I start singing. She goes, "Oh no, let us go. Let's go to the house of the Lord." And, you know, and then they all break out. "I was glad," I'm not going to keep singing. "I was glad when they said," "I rejoiced when they said to me, 'Let's go to the house of the Lord. Our feet are standing in your gates.'" This psalm has been at the start of every British coronation since that of Charles I. Do you know when that was? All you quiz aficionados, 1626. And it's been in a few royal weddings too, so certainly in the last one, different musical settings, and the choir have sung it. Hubert Parry's setting is the one that we've had for the last few decades, and it's brilliant. I love it. I absolutely love it. It's a grand opening. The orchestra, the organ, they build it up, and the trumpets come in, and then the choir, you know, eight parts of choir, and it was, "I was glad when they said unto me, 'Let us go to the house of the Lord, and our feet are standing in your gates.'" And it's just got all of that, and then it goes into this beautiful bit where it picks up on that peace, and that beautiful thing. It's just wonderful. I love it. There's something about the grandeur of those pilgrims getting up at festival time. I think that picks up on something of the grandeur of the capital city gathering. I'm not sure it catches the full, vibrant joy of ordinary people like you and me walking and talking and eating and bubbling up with joy as you come. Because this is festival time, three times a year when God's people would gather in Jerusalem. They were prescribed times. They had to come. You know, the statutes, it said, as Sarah read that, the statute about gathering. But they're just the times of celebration. They're times of family and friends reunion and catching up and drawing close to God, God's presence. No wonder they're thrilled and they're glad. Let us go. Oh, nearly started again. Let's go to the house of the Lord. Ah, our feet are standing in your gates. Oh, Jerusalem, just to be in the city. You know, it's just Jerusalem, the city there, as the psalm itself alludes. It's the house of the Lord, verse 1, and it's also the house of David. And you've got the thrones of judgment and so on. In other words, this city then, which is just the ancient David city, was just slightly across from where the main part is today. But this city symbolizes God's presence, but also the rule, the powerful political rule of the king. And here they are, they sing it away as they make their way up. Songs of ascents. But what's quite funny about that is actually Jerusalem's not the highest place in the whole land of Israel. There are higher places, but higher points of elevation in the land. But from wherever you start, however high, it was still always regarded as going up, as they sing in this song, going up to Jerusalem. The tribes go up. It's the place of highest prominence, if not the place of highest elevation, because the destination of this journey symbolizes God's presence and God's powerful rule. Now, for followers of Jesus today, the rule of God is his kingdom, and the presence of God, it just takes two or three people gathering in his name, however small the church, where you are, near Cairns, or whether it's two or three in the Sainsbury's, or which often happens, and you know, it doesn't take much but the presence and the rule of God to come in. And yet these words of this psalm, they speak to us, what, 3,000 years later, and they challenge us, and they invite us into something more about how we come together in Jesus' name, and we bless his name and praise it, and how we pray for amazing peace and flourishing for all of our world. So let's open it out and see. First of all, in seeking God, let's anticipate God's presence. You can tell, I listened to a few musical settings of this psalm in my preparation for this, both ancient and new. And as I was doing that, there was one by a guy called Ian White, and a Scottish guy, brilliant, wrote loads of the psalms, put them to music. And it took me back to when I was a school teacher about 10 years, and I lived in a town that was 40 minutes of drive away from the city of Salisbury. And for a period of time, once a year, they had something called Pentecost Praise. It was a Saturday night, of all things. And some keen Christians from the diocese and other denominations had kind of pulled this thing together. And loads of people would gather from all around the area in that ancient building. You'd have this mass of spirit-filled Christians, and you'd gather with them on their way to the cathedral. Now, I remember it for this reason. It is linked to this psalm, bear with me. It's because when we enter the doors of the building, you kind of do what you do, and you look up at the grandeur and the space of the building, and you think about God. But it was more than that. It was the buzz of the people and the sound of the musicians, these playing the kind of contemporary songs that we sing already, and the joy that was just bubbling around the place. And I remember the first time I went to this thing, and I came in, and this psalm came to mind. And I just stopped, and I rejoiced when they said to me, "Let's go to the house of the Lord." It wasn't just this grand building, far from it. It was the people and God living in amongst these living stones, his people, and that sense of the presence of God and the anticipation. It was an effort to get there. And it took some organizing, you know, going with a few other people and that sort of thing. And it was a large chunk of the day, but it was special and it was worth it because God's presence was there amongst his people. My mind then went to a conversation I have with some people who started coming to Christchurch, and they'd been a few times, and their previous church setting had been a little smaller than Christchurch on a Sunday morning, and some elements of their gathered life when they were worshipping had been a little bit more difficult and so on. And they said to me, after a few visits, they were talking about it, and they said, "Andrew, we love coming here on a Sunday. We love coming to Christchurch, you know, because the preaching is great." No, they didn't say that. They didn't say that at all. No, they said, you know, "We've been to Spring Harvest a few times." Now, Spring Harvest is like a big Christian gathering around about Easter time, and you go and stay for a few nights, and great worship and so on. And they said to me, "We've been to Spring Harvest a few times. Coming to Christchurch is like coming to Spring Harvest each week, every week for us." And I remembered that. I remembered it as a challenge. I thought, that's a bit of a challenge to all of us, isn't it? It provokes good memories, this psalm, but there is the Spirit's challenge. How much do you anticipate the joy of entering into God's presence together with others? Because this psalm talks about our feet are standing here. It's the tribes, plural, who go up. Different groups of people, family groups, friendship groups, individuals, all gathering. Talks about, our God as well. There's something about that joyful anticipation about meeting God, opening his word, and worshipping him together. What is it for you? How are you on a Sunday morning? Do you feel part of the invitation or the challenge here? What is it you do to prepare for a Sunday morning and enter into the presence of Jesus with others? I'm sure you've probably got a little bit of a routine and ritual, maybe timings for a Sunday that work. You have to have that if you're doing the 9:30 because you need to be up and out the door and everything. But in truth, the important and regular coming together in church, it can become dry or mundane if we don't water it. Just like our garden at the moment is a bit dry and in danger of becoming very mundane because we don't water it. But if we don't water it, what do we do about those times when we gather? May God help us never forget the privilege and freedom in this country, in this land we have to gather. May he draw us to himself. May he direct our wills to choose to prepare our hearts, remembering his goodness as we get ready to gather, holding on to his life and looking forward to sharing that with others. Here's a little question or a challenge. If you were to write a simple prayer that you're going to use for the next few months as you gather, you know, in advance of a Sunday morning, what would that prayer say that's special about this day of gathering? Could be just one or two sentences. What would your prayer say? Maybe you could write one during the course of this week. Maybe as we've talked about that excitement of all arriving and gathering, there's the importance of building festival times into your wider life, where you go to a big praise event in the centre of London, or you know, you book in one of our worship and prayer times on an evening. We've got our communion and healing service this evening. We've got a worship time. I think it's the 1st of July is the next one. And just get them in. Or prom praise in the Albert Hall. We've got a church memory plays in the orchestra and fill it with Christians and worship, or new wine, or big church day out and so on. There's a place for festival times that fill you and help you draw close to God, whatever style of church that is. This intentional seeking of God in the heart of each of us. It involves at times that refocusing, a turning away from all we know that's wrong in our lives. We need that. We could just go astray so easily. We turn back to God every day. There's something special about a Sunday in recommitment and renewal to find him. Anticipate God's presence. That was part of the challenge to me. I hope it is to you too. Secondly, to praise his name. Why did they gather at festival time? To praise and to pray. Let's look at the praise bit. That's where the tribes go up to praise the name of the Lord. Steve launched this series a couple of weeks ago, and praise was our theme, Psalm 145. Delighting in God, honoring him for who he is. Praise is about who somebody is. It's just like them and their nature and their attributes. And the amazing thing he does in our lives and the world he's made. That's the focus of our praise. That's what I like about this particular song as you're gathering up. It's the name of the Lord. The beautiful name of Jesus we just sang. The powerful name of Jesus we've just sang. I remember the gas engineer who condemned our dying boiler that had lasted from everlasting to everlasting. It was the same boiler, but none of the parts were quite the same. Anyway, it had enjoyed this extended lifetime, but parts were no longer available. Or if they were, they were few and far to find, and so they were ridiculously expensive. And so the gas engineer told us that the boiler had come to the end of its earthly life and so on. And he talked down the make of the boiler that we had. Okay, despite the fact it had lasted so very long, he talked it down and told us that he only fitted one particular make of boiler. And then he listed the reasons why, all the things that stood out to him about this particular brand, the attributes of that name, if you like. In other words, he was praising the name of the company, gas boiler brand above all others, because of the amazing engineering, the craftsmanship, the quality, the reliability, and his commission. No, he didn't say that bit, and so on. But, you know, and he was praising his name. Well, do you know what? We, when we gather, we get to praise the name of the Lord. Why do we come up together? Why do we gather? To praise the name of the Lord, to honor him for his many attributes, for all that he is, far above all others. That's what the New Testament tells us. The name of Jesus is above every other name. Now just imagine if you found time in your own personal walk to just focus on one element of that name during the week. And then you bring that, and Charlie, she's bringing something, and Andrew, she's bringing something, and Matt's bringing something, and we gather together, and then we praise the name of the Lord. Just think what a difference that makes, knowing why we gather. Why don't you, this week, sometime in your own personal time this week, why don't you get a pen and paper, or a little pad, and whichever you prefer, jot down a load of the names of Jesus that you find in the Bible, all right? There are loads right through the Old Testament, the New Testament. And he is the Son of God. He is Emmanuel. He is King of kings and Lord of lords. He is brother. Oh, what a precious name, brother. He is friend of sinners. The Alpha and Omega, the Chief Shepherd, the Savior, the Messiah. You get the picture, right? You keep going with that name. And then you've got a list you've just written. And just in that moment, see if God just brings one of those, you know, as you were writing them, one particularly, just kind of sung in your heart. Hold that name in your mind and then actually meet with Jesus, commune with him over that name. Why don't you do it? And just say, that's who you are. And it's just what you're like. And I'm so grateful because of this. And you praise his name, that particular aspect. And then even as you're doing that, you start to then pray for those you know on your front line, where you have leisure, where you work, where you volunteer, where you live. Say you took the name of Friend of Sinners. You know, I just love that name. Used as an insult by Jesus' opponents. And yet here you are, you're going to praise him for that name because of what it means. You thank him for the way he's offered friendship and acceptance of you. And then how he welcomes you and draws you in and how free his grace and his mercy is. His mercy, he doesn't treat you as you deserve to be treated because he's a friend of sinners. He's full of mercy. And it gives you a fresh start and all that. So you think of that name. And you praise him. And then you're thinking of somebody in your workplace or along your street. And you just like pray. God, may their eyes, may their heart be open to discover Jesus as their friend. That they'll understand this term for themselves one day, friend of sinners. That you don't look with judgment or condemnation, but love and a desire to make them whole. And you pray for them. Just sing. It's where we gather and we sing how much that fuels our prayers as we bless the name of Jesus. And as this kind of meditation, it kind of reminds us of the breadth of God's nature, wider than we often think, and his power and his goodness, and we honor him together. It's good to praise the name of Jesus, the unique, the highest, the beautiful, the powerful name of Jesus, the name he said, pray in my name. So we anticipate God's presence, we praise his name, and then this psalm finishes with a whole chunk about praying for his peace. These words of David's song express a longing, verse 5, a longing for justice, a longing for peace, verses 6 to 8. Did you pick that up as Sarah read it so beautifully and powerfully? A longing for the kind of security and tranquility and wholeness that can only be found in God. If you were happen to be listening to the lyrics being read in the original Hebrew language, when you get to verse 6 and 7, you kind of pick up a resonance. So like it's a similar sound comes a few different times. As the word peace in our English, or Jerusalem, or secure, or security. They all sound similar in Hebrew. And they speak of this word shalom. Okay, shalom, God's special peace. This is how the pastor and author of the Message translation or paraphrase of the Bible, Eugene Peterson, writes about this peace. We thought about it in the series of on the Beatitudes and blessed are the peacemakers. Eugene Peterson says this, shalom, peace, is one of the richest words in the Bible. It gathers all aspects of wholeness that result from God's will being completed in us. It is the work of God that when complete releases streams of living water in us and pulsates with eternal life. This shalom, you can see, you know, this shalom is not just about me. We're invited into this, but it's God. And this shalom, peace, is for the needs of those around us. These lyrics say, pray for the peace of Jerusalem. Then 3,000 years ago, as today, what happens in a city, and especially a capital city, can shape the lives and the hopes and the well-being of those in the city, yes, but also, those beyond the city as well. And God is interested then in us praying for the peace of Jerusalem. That's going to take us, what happens in the city is really important in government and with God's presence, but it spills out to every part of our lives, and we're praying for peace, for prosperity, it says here. And that city should be a focus of a special kind of peace. Baptist minister Nigel Hopper, who works for Arusha, he puts it like this. It's the city is a center for the flourishing of all creation, living in the presence of God and under his reign. The flourishing of all creation, knowing God's presence and living under his reign. Now, Christians believe that Jesus is the fulfillment of Jerusalem's religious and political functions, the house of God and the thrones of justice of the house of David and so on. And so we bring this prayer into the whole of life, into the places and spaces that seem far from God. We're going to pray this prayer of peace. This is what happened for God's people centuries after David had penned this and the people had sung it on their way up to Jerusalem. God's people hadn't lived by God's standards and in God's ways, and God had said, oh, I'm going to hand you over. And they were carried off into exile in another country, and a whole load of them were in Babylon. Now, what does God say to them through the prophet Jeremiah, who was based in Jerusalem at the time? He says to them, in effect, he's saying, well, you're gonna be there 70 years. There's a time limit to this, but put down roots. Marry, have children. You know, invest where you are now. Invest. Listen to this. In verse 29, chapter 29, verse 7 of Jeremiah, it says, seek the peace and prosperity of the city. You see how that resonates with Psalm 122? And he's saying it for there in Babylon, where I've carried you into exile. Pray to the Lord for it, because if it prospers, you will prosper too. They're going to pray shalom where God has placed them in Babylon, and shalom over the people around them and so on. Do we literally pray for the peace of Jerusalem? Yes, we do. It's really important we do. In that troubled, religiously mixed city, that special city, and we pray then for the wider country, and we pray for the troubles in the Middle East and so on. It's important we do that, but we take our prayers for flourishing, for peace and for well-being much wider. We take them for our town and our village along your street, for those in your golf club, your bowls club, your knitting and stitching circle, your book reading club, Those in your organization that you work with, in your school, in your college, those you meet at the gym, if you go to the gym, you pray this shalom peace of relational blessings, physical shalom and peace too. You pray for the well-being of people and their flourishing. That the people, ultimately, you're praying for that ultimate shalom that is found in Christ and Jesus alone. You pray that blessing of the hope and wholeness in Jesus' name over the people you're praying for. Jesus, the God of all, the Lord over all, we pray wide and expansive prayers. This psalm, that's a challenge for me, to pray for that peace and to pray it wide. So yes, we're going to anticipate God's presence when we gather in these special times. We'll praise his name that's high above everything else, and we'll pray for his shalom peace in the spaces where he places us. We're going to pray, and we're going to do that now. We're going to sing, make our response. The band are going to come up, and they're going to sing. And just in between, they'll sing a verse, and we'll all stand, and we'll join, and we'll sing this together. And then I'll lead us in some prayers. And then we'll sing the song again. I'll lead us in some more prayers, and then we'll sing the song again. Is that it? Okay, that was three times. So, yeah, that's great. Let's do it. Faithful God, let's praise his name. He is awesome. Let's stand, shall we? We're in the presence of the Almighty God, and we're going to praise all the things so good about him. Let's praise. Faithful. We lift you up, and we lift up your name, Father in heaven. And as we lift you up, we know you're here now, present with us, just as you have promised. You are here, love in all its fullness, truth in all its beauty and power. We pray for our neighbors and our friends, where those around us might live in discord and strife. We pray the blessing of your peace. For those who live amongst what is destructive, lead them towards your wholeness and the peace that's found in you. We pray where there is trouble, in Jesus' name, for our friends and neighbors. Faithful God. Let's sing again. Lift him up. As we lift you up, we can bring big prayers to you. We pray in this world that's ravaged by war, at times characterized by people who carry hatred, destruction, and violence. We cry out to you for mercy. We pray for wars to cease. We pray for food, for homes, clothing, schooling, stability, and shalom for communities that are decimated, displaced, or in fear. We pray for war to be replaced in Jesus' name by lasting peace and the shalom flourishing of human beings around this world, people who are just like us. We pray this in the name of Jesus. Father, we lift before you those who don't yet know you, don't yet know Jesus. We think as well of those who've wandered far from you but need you more than ever this day. Come, Lord, we pray. Open their minds to the reality of your presence and your being. Open their understanding to the extent of your love and your care for them. Awaken them in their spirit so they can see Jesus for all he is and has done for them. Come, Lord, we pray that they might find shalom, peace in you, Lord Jesus, the purpose, hope, forgiveness, cleansing and fullness that comes from you. We ask this with particular people in mind. We ask this in the name of the Prince of Peace, Jesus. Amen. 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 Let's sing one more time and praise his name, faithful God. There, step into this shalom. Do it. You need someone alongside you praying for that. There are people here who'd love to do that. Brothers and sisters around. We have our prayer ministry team. They want to pray that shalom. In our communion and healing service, we're going to pray for that wholeness as well over people and think about that rest. Come to him. It's important because he wants you to carry that shalom and walk in that peace in his spirit and make a difference in this world. So it's really important to come, receive that wholeness in Christ that you might flourish and take those prayers.